It's time. He's here, the food mensch. Hey, food mensch, Arthur Schwartz, what's going on?
I have been getting, this is strange for, February now, I have been getting extraordinarily good eggplants in the market, which has encouraged me to make eggplant more often. And there are thousands of ways to prepare eggplant. Years ago, I did a deep dive into Turkish cuisine, which is one of the mother cuisines, I have to say. Anyway, I don't want to go into that history, but anyway, in Turkey, they actually have a myth that if you eat enough eggplant, smoking won't kill you. That's because they all smoke so much. I've been to outdoor restaurants in Turkey where you couldn't sit very long because of the cigarette smoke. But anyway, so there are a thousand ways to prepare eggplant. However, most of the time, well, let me say, so these eggplants have been particularly good. How do I know when I look at them? When you buy an eggplant, what you're looking for is firmness, a shiny skin, and above all, the calyx, which is the part that connects the fruit, which is the eggplant itself, to the stem, the green part should be green and not brown and not old. That's a definite indication of age. So the fresher, the greener those calyxes are, the better the eggplant. But I've been finding these beautiful looking, shiny, firm, green calyx eggplant in the store. Now, it just proves that there's no more seasons. I mean, if you're willing to buy something from California or Florida or Texas or Arizona in the middle of the winter, which I am, and Mexico, which I am, even Canada, which I am, and I don't know why anybody wouldn't be, I have to say, these eggplant have been terrific. So the other day, I was even inspired to fry some of this eggplant. Now, one cooking direction that I usually give is if you're going to fry the eggplant, you should soak it in water or salt water, or salt it down and let some of that moisture in the eggplant drain out. However, lately, and also the bitterness, this was a whole deal about eggplant being bitter. I have not had a bitter eggplant in years. They have hybridized out the bitterness, it seems. But the other day I did decide, well, if I'm going to fry the eggplant, I really should salt it down. Now, normal, I cube the eggplant, and normally, and I put it in a big bowl of cold water. Let's say, it's like 2 pounds of eggplant, it's going to take a big bowl and maybe a tablespoon of salt, and let it sit for a half an hour. In the old days, the water would turn black. These days, it turns light brown, just proving that they're different. How they're different, I think we need a botanist to tell us that. In any case, this eggplant fried up so beautifully did not, as I hoped it wouldn't, absorbing much oil. In fact, after I fried off the eggplant, I had enough oil in the pan still to cook other vegetables, and I made like, I call it a mélange because I like the word and the way it sounds, mélange, a mélange of vegetables that I had. Now, eggplant, the summer vegetables, eggplant, zucchini, red pepper, sweet onion. And it really was very delicious. Now, I had more eggplant in the refrigerator just yesterday. And I said, well, I'm baba ganoushed out for the moment. I mean, my go-to thing when I have eggplant is to roast it in the oven, 400 degrees, takes anywhere from 45 minutes to an hour, depending on the size of the eggplant. I poke some pointy knife holes into it before I put it in the oven. You can even put it in a cold oven, by the way, and just set the oven to 400 degrees. It'll take a little longer, but you don't have to wait for the oven to preheat. In any case, when the eggplant is really soft, holding it by the stem, I make a slit in the bottom of the eggplant with a nice sharp knife and drape it over the side of a bowl. And what will happen is the dark, supposedly bitter juices will drain out on their own. I do that, and when it's cool enough to handle, discard the juices, scrape the eggplant out of the skin, discard the skin, and of course the stem end, the calyx end. And then I have a Metsaluna, I like using here, but or a hachmesser, the old Yiddish word for that curved knife. I have one of them. I have a good. I have my grandmother's. I have my mother's. They each had their own, but I have my own, and mine is actually a sharp stainless steel blade. So I chop up the eggplant. I don't. You. Some people, puree it. I don't like it pureed. I like it a little bit texture, a little bit of texture. And if the knife doesn't do the job, I, squish it with the fork. Now that is the basis of baba ganoush, but to which I would add some grated garlic, lemon juice. By the way, you can add lemon juice as soon as you scrape the pulp out of the skin. It'll keep the eggplant a little whiter. Anyway, and then garlic, and for a 1 pound eggplant, one big spoon of tahini. All right, if you love tahini, two big spoons of tahini, but no more than that. And lemon juice. And you beat it all up, and that's a delicious, delicious spread or dip. There's another version of that that I make too, which is, I think there's a recipe for it in Jewish home cooking. And I always called it Romanian eggplant, but other people call it Russian eggplant. And it's also known as eggplant caviar. You may have had that. It was a big deal in the 50s and the 60s, I remember. Eggplant caviar. It's not, of course, caviar. It's the eggplant turns dark and has seeds, so it sort of looks like lumpy caviar. But all it is the roasted caviar, roasted eggplant. By the way, if you have an outdoor grill going, do your eggplant over the ash. And you'll get a nice smoky flavor, which is really desirable. If you do it in the oven, you don't get such a smoky flavor. But if you did it on top of the stove over the flame, it would be a good smoky flavor. You have choice here. Ease or smoky flavor is really the choice. In any case, the Romanian eggplant or eggplant caviar, I always just seasoned it with garlic, a little bit of oil, not much, if any, diced onion, diced green pepper. We didn't have red peppers in the old days; they were very exotic. But these days, I might use red pepper. It's prettier for one thing. And you can serve those diced onion and pepper for people to put on at will, sort of as a garnish, the way you would garnish real caviar with egg and onion. But you can also mix it in. Goes both ways. That would be, I always called it Romanian caviar. Now, truly the king of eggplant dishes to me is something I told you I did this deep dive into Turkish cuisine years ago, and this is still my really favorite dish, and you can see why. It's called Sultan's Delight, or, and I'm sure I'm not going to pronounce it correctly, but I think it's Unkar Biyendi. Don't ask. Turkish is hard to pronounce sometimes. Anyway, the Sultan's Delight is eggplant pureed, or mashed up the way I do it for other eggplant dishes, blended with bechamel, with white sauce, and as a final flavoring, cheese. Now, you would use some kind of sheep's milk cheese if you were in Turkey. So I happen to have some feta in the fridge. So I used that and it worked out very, very well. I think feta is a good choice. You don't need a lot, I would say, for. So I only had one eggplant left to cook. So I cooked it. It gave me 1 cup of eggplant puree. I made a bechamel with 1 cup of milk, 2 tablespoons of butter, 2 tablespoons of flour, a roux first, and then the white sauce. And I blended in the eggplant, all chopped up and mashed up. And finally, the cheese. I didn't use much more than about an ounce of feta, maybe not much more than that. Depends on it was pretty salty feta, so I had it in a little container in the fridge, so I just used up what I had. I'm sure it wasn't more than an ounce or two. I'm sure it wasn't more than two. Anyway, with a good amount, and that's it. Now, that is just a base, sort of like mashed potatoes. For a lamb stew that goes on top. I mean, this is a complicated recipe. I mean, you could do it over 2 days, by the way, but I did it in one. The lamb stew I made with shoulder lamb. Now, not easy to get boned out shoulder lamb. I bought 4 thick shoulder lamb chops and I cut off all the meat. I actually trimmed a little bit here and there. There was some fat that we didn't need to put into the stew. And I ended up with a nice pile of meat, but also a nice pile of bones, which had meat clinging to them. Did not want to waste this. So I made some lamb broth with the bones and the meat clinging to it just by putting it in a pot with water and bringing it to the boil. It probably didn't simmer. For more than about 20 minutes or so, when I used it, that was good. If I was making it for its own sake, I probably would have let it cook longer and put some vegetables in there, maybe even. But in fact, it reminded me of another broth, a lamb broth that I make. But anyway, going back, in a deep casserole, put a nice layer of olive oil. And over medium high heat, cook the meat. Now, my meat just covered the bottom of my, what was it? 10-inch saute pan, deep, it's a deep pan with a cover. It covered the bottom of the pan. And you don't have to leave, this is not, like doing a deep sear. You don't have to really get them super brown. Just cook them for a while so that they lose the raw color. And then I put in a medium-ish red onion diced and about 2 large cloves of garlic minced. And I cooked all this all together until the onion got tender in 5 minutes. Then I added 2 big tablespoons full of tomato paste. Put that at the bottom of the pan. And then I poured over that the lamb broth that I had just made, and just to cover the meat, and salt and pepper, of course. And I let this simmer. And it was with the tomato paste, I don't know, it was a good hour or so. My meat was not tender yet, but it was getting there. At which point I put in a nice heaping cupful of cherry tomatoes. Cut into quarters, fresh tomatoes. If you have a good, fresh, regular tomato, you can dice up some regular tomato. But I wanted a fresh tomato presence in this. And then I also seasoned it with, well, this is a little bit exotic for everybody, Aleppo pepper. But if you don't have Aleppo pepper, which is a kind of a crushed pepper that is sweet but also fragrant and fruity, and only a little bit hot. You can use a sweet paprika is a good substitute, I would say. And then maybe you want to use a pinch of cayenne pepper to bring up the heat. That's it. Simmer, 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 gently, gently. It took about 2 hours altogether for the meat to get really tender, but it was very deliciously lamby. And that stew, which by the time it finished cooking, did not have much liquid. By the way, I like red onions lately, and I use them here because They do, when you're making a braise or a stew and or even soup, they do dissolve very quickly. Well, way more easily than a yellow onion does, or even a white onion. So I'm using them lately for in those places. And also in some places I want that little bit of sweetness that they give, that regular onions don't, especially since I eschew sugar. Don't add sugar to anything these days. Anyway, this beautiful stew, what if it wasn't beautiful enough? We didn't have a green vegetable, and I had the idea, not Turkish at all, to add peas to this. So it was a lamb stew with tomato and peas, and that became a topping for the eggplant puree. Sultan's delight. I want some now, but I ate it all up.
It sounds very fit for a sultan, let's just say.
Yes, it was. Now, we didn't have bread with it. It was interesting, or any kind of carb. And I must say well, bechamel had 2 tablespoons of flour in it, but other than that, it was a very low carb meal. And only afterwards did we say, oh, we could have had bread if we wanted with this, but we didn't. So we didn't really miss it. So if everybody's being low carb, I'm just pointing out that this is a very good dish if you are. And if I did want a carb, I might want to have rice, be honest. Some nice rice, very Turkish.
Yeah,
Anyway.
no,
Yeah. So I so
good.
so very soon I have to talk about eggs and not eggplant. Oh, by the way, do you know why it's called eggplant?
I do not.
Because the original eggplant was white, and we still have white eggplant. We think of them as exotic eggplant, but actually the original fruit of this vine was white. So it was the eggplant. And
So how
hence
did it
eggplant.
turn purple?
This I don't know. You have to ask a botanist that. Or why did it turn purple? Why did
Well,
they?
that I mean, why did something that started out white, like
White,
was it
right.
hybridized into purplish? That's all.
I
It's
think
just
you need an ethnobiologist to answer this question.
okay. Then I won't ask you. I will ask you something though about that recipe first. So when you before you did the lamb stew part.
Yeah.
You made the eggplant
Well, I was doing
paste or
simultaneous.
did you?
Yes, eggplant. Yes, I roasted the eggplant, and when it cooled down, I made the bechamel and added it. But you can
Okay.
do that, and you can do that in the morning for the evening. I mean, really, it's a do-ahead thing if you want. And when you're ready to eat, you just reheat it, and that's exactly what I did. In fact, I put in this feta into the mix, and it didn't melt all the way, but I left it in with a few lumps here and there, and figuring it would get soft when I reheated it, and sure enough, it did. And the same thing with the lamb. You can make that in, it doesn't take all that long, a couple of hours, but mostly unattended. So you can make that one day and serve it the next. It's a good party dish, actually, if you make it in quantity. And it's not a hard thing to make in quantity. In fact, I would say that the 4 lamb chops, it was a lot. In weight, it was a lot, probably. I didn't even look. But there were 4 lamb chops
Well, the
served.
good news
Bob
is,
was more than enough for Bob and me. We eat a lot.
the good news is that you got the lamb chops this time because there wasn't a storm.
You remember? Yes. And by the way, I bought the lamb chops this time to make something different altogether, to make those oreganata, I call them, baked in the oven with onion and tomato. But at the last minute, I got involved with this eggplant thing. And I said, salt and slide. By the way, I do have a recipe for it that I contrived years and years ago when I had to give a lecture on Turkish food. And I think I even demonstrated it, but I can't seem to find it in my files. So what I just gave you, I just made up. out of off my top of my head, and I made it taste Turkish. I think I may have thrown in a tiny bit of cumin also. I'm throwing a tiny bit of cumin into a lot of places lately. But I might have, but you don't need it. You don't need it at all. So anyway, all right. Well,
I am
on to eggs.
okay.
Not now. There's no time. You can, by the way, I was going to say books could be written about eggs, but books have been written about eggs. I'm not
Many.
sure that you can have many. I'm not sure, and actually some very good ones too. I'm not sure that one can cook without eggs, although vegans do. I wonder what, I don't know what vegans do to substitute for eggs. I mean, eggs
And
play so many roles. What?
I'm just going to say that eggs are wonderfully back in fashion right now.
Well,
That's all
I
I'm going
don't,
to say.
by me, they were never out of fashion by me.
Exactly. And I
Yeah.
always, whenever I say that, after all these years, you always say they were never out of fashion. But if you follow the, shall we
No, I
say,
know
the
people are egg phobic or used to be egg phobic.
egg
They,
phobic, fat phobic, and the thing about eggs is, they're pretty perfect. Anyway,
yes, we used to call them the
I'm
perfect
hungry.
food,
Thank you.
actually.
They have it all, and it's just really interesting. And this goes way back. When the perfect food was adulterated to become egg beaters or this is or that. It's just like it never tasted right to me. That's all.
I never
But
tasted it. I had no interest in
that
even tasting it. Even
brings us back.
though it was my job. No, I
That
don't
brings
know.
us back.
I never gave up on eggs, ever, ever. They were too fat, too much cholesterol, all these in French, Boobamainces. Boobamainces, folks, is an old wives' tale. So, but no, what I find, and this is disturbing, is that people of a certain age, which is to say my age or even a little younger, who came of age, so to speak, with demonized fats, demonized eggs, demonized a lot of different foods, continue to be afraid of those foods, even though they know better, they hear better, the science has proven wrong. This happens, by the way. Science is proven wrong sometimes. Anyway, and I
Absolutely.
find that particularly my I have a friend who the doctor keeps telling you should gain some weight, yet she's always watching her fat content of everything. For next week, I have to figure out a segue from eggplant back to eggs. But I really do want to talk about eggs. They are so essential. Try to stay warm this week. It's really onion soup. I made a big pot of onion soup to keep us warm. And I also made out a cleaner out the refrigerator soup, which is really, never to be done again because I'll never have the same vegetables again. But I've got to say it was really good.
Well, we will ask you that sounds excellent, and we will ask you about that next week.
Okay.
This has been Arthur Schwartz, the Food Mensch on Robin Hood Radio.